with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Fifth show for the week done, dusted.
Woo!
Feels good, Herbie. Weekend's here. Fire up, son. Fire up.
Oh, I've been fired up all week. Even though the weekend doesn't really feel like a weekend at this stage. Yeah. Every day's sort of the same. But you know what? It's a weekend nonetheless.
Well, for us, it's just nice not to have to wake up at 4 in the morning. Do you know what I mean?
I know, but tomorrow we will be waking up early for a special reason. It is Anzac Day, and we know a lot of people around the country are doing a very special thing, which you'll hear about throughout our podcast. Plus, I got my friend on, Caitlin, who is a lovely young lady, and she shares her thoughts on why Anzac Day is still so important and why young people should get around it.
Yeah, it is a really, really important chat. She's got a big heart, Caitlin, as well. Plus, I set you a challenge for the weekend. Let's see if you can accomplish that. You'll find out in the next catch up if she does or not. It's a pretty big ask, this one. I don't reckon you're going to do too well.
I know. I love that you could have done it yourself.
Yeah.
But instead you've gone, actually, I like this, but I'm going to make Herbie do it.
I have figured out life, I reckon.
We have also jumped into the world of Bad Boys for a particular reason.
Yeah, this we got a call as well come through from someone in the GV, and it blew my mind. I didn't know there was more people like you out there, Herbs.
I tell you what, I'll just give you the hint now. Bad Boys, they're sexy.
Ooh, I love a bad boy. There's so much more in this catch-up. Let's get out of here. Enjoy your weekend, guys. We'll speak to you next week.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
So I've sort of kept something, I guess, from you, Josiah, and I guess the whole Goulburn Valley. When I went to the hospital the other day, I went to GV Health. I had to get a CAT scan. Something happened there, and I just haven't told you about it just yet. So I think I might have actually met maybe someone I'm quite interested in.
Here we go, Herbie, finally. How long have you been single for now?
Oh, thanks. Let's just get back into it. My ex and I broke up when I was in Sydney, and that was in 2016.
So you've been single for almost 5 years now.
Yeah. I've dated some people, but not boyfriend, girlfriend.
Casual.
Since then. Yeah. I mean, I've moved around a lot because with radio, I've been everywhere in the country nearly now.
Yeah.
So, I've been single a long time.
All right. So that's about to change. This is what I'm getting at here.
Yeah. Well, you know, hopefully, but there's something that might get in the way. So I went to GV Health and I walked in, saw the reception, and they led me through to the reception of the radiology where I had to, after I'd signed in, you sit there and wait until you get called. And when I first walked in, I noticed that it was like a police officer, someone in uniform. I didn't want to stare because that's rude. And I thought, you know what? Everyone needs to get checkups. Everyone has issues. So everyone's able to come and get their appointment.
Yeah.
Didn't think much of it. And then I was sitting there until a sliding door opened where I wasn't allowed to go until I got called. Like, I know that's an off-limits area. And another guard or police officer came through there. And I've gone, okay, maybe you're just helping a mate. You've come with a friend.
Or maybe all the officers were booking in for their flu jabs. You know our office today,
yes.
The whole of HIT are getting their jabs
exactly
today. So maybe it was the police turn.
You never know. And so I didn't want to jump to any conclusions. But then that officer went back through the sliding door, and then the sliding door came back, and a male appeared, and he was very good looking. He was, oh man, he was hot.
Like how hot?
Probably one of the hottest guys I've seen this year. I'd put him up with like a Liam Hemsworth.
Wow.
But not as much hair. He was less hair, but that kind of he was looking good, let me tell you that much. But the only problem with this is, because I was thinking could get his number, but in this case I'd probably more need to write a letter because he's an inmate.
I did not expect that.
Yeah, that's right. It was two police officers.
Hang on. Why was he at the hospital for?
Because he's obviously getting a checkup. You're able. If you are in prison or locked up, you still have rights to go get checkups at hospitals. So,
he's in the lockup, right? He's done something bad. So this is obviously a very bad boy. And what, two officers? Because I don't reckon you'd have to have two officers escorting unless you'd.
I reckon
bad.
You'd have to. There's a driver, and then one would be watching. I reckon. Legally, you'd have to have two.
Well, he's obviously a pretty bad boy if, two officers are having to escort him to just have a routine checkup at the old hospital. So what did you do? Did you wave him down? Did you go up to the officers and slip your number?
So he was about to sit next to me, and then one of the officers said, no, come on, mate, we're leaving now. And so I only really got probably a good 40 seconds of viewing him, but in that 40 seconds, my heart melted. He was sexy.
Herbs.
He was like, you know the hot mugshot guy?
Yeah.
Jeremy Meeks. That's back in the day. He was very attractive, and I reckon this guy is the Aussie version. I'm in love.
Herbs, I know you like a bad boy, but that's taking it to the next level. Wow. You have, I wouldn't say issues, because I know you can appreciate a hot man, but seriously, no wonder you're single. You need to start better.
Maybe I don't know. Is it because of isolation that maybe I'm restricted?
The first time you finally get out, you're at the hospital, you see an inmate. He probably looks like my foot, be like, I swear he's a 10. I swear.
I even washed my hair to go to the hospital, and I tell you what, I was so glad I did when I saw him. I've gone, he's seeing a better side of the herbs than most people have, or at least you have last couple of weeks.
I reckon this is a thing, girls, as well. Girls do love a bad boy.
Oh, yeah.
I remember in high school, one of my best mates, Sam, he was the naughtiest guy. He was the one that got the tattoos, you know, young. He was the one that would do all the wrong things, and all the girls used to love him. He used to get all the girls in high school.
It's the bad boy look, but also you want to be their savior. You want to be the girl that they fall for.
Yeah, but why go for the good guys? We're out here. We're all.
I don't know. Give me the thrill. I don't know what it is. They're dangerous, and I love danger.
Girls are strange, man. Are you like Herbie and attracted to a bad boy? Is this an actual thing, or is Herbie
alone? I'm not alone.
Do girls still like a bad boy, or is that a thing of a past? Should we open the phones up?
Definitely. You can vote at our Instagram as well, at HitGV. But let's open it up. Come on, ladies. Let us know. Are you attracted to a bad boy? I'd love to get someone who maybe is married to a bad boy.
Cass is in Benalla. Are you attracted to a bad boy?
I so am.
Oh, yes. They're sexy.
Have you dated one, or is it just the sort of guy you end up going for the bad boys all the time, Cass?
No. My ex was a very good boy. He was very family orientated. But this one, which I'm married to... He's so bad. He was. He really was. His teenage years was reckless. And his young adulthood was reckless.
How reckless?
Like, I tamed that tiger.
Was he in and out of jail reckless, and then you've made him a good boy? Like, you tamed him? What did you do?
No. There was court appearances and no jail time.
Is it, Cassie, that you were able to tame him? That was the chase? You liked that part of it? Or just him being a bad boy in general?
I don't know. We just had so much fun. I was just so attracted to him, and I still am. He's gorgeous.
This is crazy. Yeah, is it his looks / the bad boy? Like, what am I doing something wrong? Like, if I go get arrested this weekend, would I have a crack at a few more ladies around the GV, you reckon?
I don't know. I think times have changed, though. Like, a lot of them are good boys now, the gym goers and the guys that are just getting it all together seem to be quite attractive lately.
This weekend, girls, I'm going to get arrested and I'm going to get a face tattoo and see how I go next week. I'll let you know, all right?
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Anzac Day is tomorrow, and so many people across the country will be honouring their day in their own way, or coming together as a household, or even streets will come together. You'll see them on their driveways. But there's one girl who, in my life, I know this day means everything to her. It's one of the first things I learnt about her. She's one of my good friends from Wagga. Her name's Caitlin. How are you going this morning?
Good, thanks, Herb. How are you?
I'm good. Now, Caitlin, you are one of the most beautiful people inside and out, and something that I did learn early on is that you are very passionate about Anzac Day.
Yes, I am.
So how did this all come about? Is it just something maybe when you're in school you learnt about the Anzacs and you got involved, or is it something personal to you?
It's actually something personal. My granddad was in the Vietnam War, and ever since I was the age of 3, I obviously attended Anzac Day marches beforehand, but as soon as I turned 3, my instinct was I asked him if I could march alongside him, and the smile on his face has never been more priceless than anything. Like, he wasn't one to smile. He was very firm, very straight-faced, but as soon as the eldest granddaughter had actually asked him to actually march with him, he was very shocked and very surprised and pretty proud, I think. And ever since 2003, when I was 3 years old, I actually marched alongside him. Unfortunately, in 2016, he passed away due to illnesses, and I wasn't going to stop marching for him. I asked Manny O if I could continue to march and wear his medals on Anzac Day. And she agreed and was pretty proud. And ever since then, I've been marching alongside my siblings and sometimes my cousins as well, if they'd like to join. We march on Anzac Day. But this is the first real year that it hasn't really happened. So it's been a bit of a shock. I am a little bit upset about it, but I guess it is what it is. And like, health is more important than anything at the moment. So I will be going over to Mum and Dad's Saturday morning at 5:30 to go to the end of my their driveway to do the minute silence alongside them.
I think, Caitlin, it's incredible what you've done and that you've been involved for so long. But I do want to ask, because I know it must have been so hard when you did lose your grandfather. How was it that first year marching without him, and what did you feel?
I was very emotional, still to this day, I still get quite emotional. I still get a little upset. But, that first year was really hard. The year before he actually passed, he was in hospital for Anzac Day, so he didn't get to march that Anzac Day. But we did go and see him straight after the march and let him know that we marched and all that. And then, that following year, it was oh my goodness, he's actually not here anymore. I've got no one to march with me. It was really hard, really hard, very emotional, very tough.
Caitlin, how old are you?
I'm 20.
Now, that's an amazing thing for someone of your age, and we do have many young people that listen to this show. A lot of people have the perception that this is something for the older people, and because it was so far in our past, it's hard to find that connection. Have you got a message to people that the young people, because this is obviously one of the most important days on our calendar, no matter if you're listening and you're a baby all the way through to, 110 years old. How do the young people look at a day like tomorrow, like yourself, and get that perception, get that drained into them, knowing how important the day is?
I would honestly just say, don't take your grandparents for advantage. Treasure every moment you have with them, because you don't know when it's going to be their last, and appreciate them that little bit more if they have been to war and Anzac Day is important to them. Help them out and make sure they're okay, and maybe even ask them their story if they want to open up about it.
You're an amazing person, Caitlin. You're definitely a role model for the younger generation, even though you're part of the young generation. So I know you'll be standing with pride tomorrow, and no doubt we'll see you again marching next year. That'd be correct, I'm sure.
Yes, that is correct. I will be.
Your grandpa would be very, very proud of you, Caitlin. So we're sending you love tomorrow, but also keep doing what you're doing.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much for sharing, Caitlin. We really appreciate the time. And if you guys want to get involved as well, we are getting behind the driveways at dawn right here on Hit 96.9. For all the details, we've got it right now up at Hit GV on Instagram, Hit Goulburn Valley on Facebook, and hit.com.au as well.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie
on Hit 96.9.
Herbie, the first lot of vaccine trials have started for coronavirus in the UK. Now, it was a question you and I started talking about off air, is how do they pick the people to do these trials? Are you unlucky?
Exactly.
Are you a volunteer, or have they picked you out by random? Kind of like going to war and they've said, you've got no choice, you're getting tested.
Do you know what? I am interested in how they pick it. Is it just the lucky dip? No. Is it like Hunger Games style? You get picked out of? I mean, is there an actual way? Do you know the answer to this?
Yes. So the official way they do it is duck, duck, goose, if you're the goose. Nah, it's actually a voluntary thing. They've got 500 people with the first round. And I want to ask you this question, Herbs, because the rumours are that if you are one of these people that have volunteered for it, you get paid up to $2,000, which is not bad, but there is a risk attached. They're getting, half the people that get tested do already have coronavirus, and it tests to see if it works. The other half are the healthy people. You're a healthy human being, Herbs.
Yep.
You tick all the boxes. For $2,000, do you volunteer yourself to get trialed at the risk of getting coronavirus from the needle?
I mean, I think I would. I know that they're really positive about this vaccine. The health minister's chucking in an extra £20 million. So that's 40 million Australian. So I think with that, Yeah, give it to me. Give me Rona. Give me 2K.
There's a lot I could do because I'd be like, you know what? Chuck in the thing. If I end up getting it, it's $2,000. You're in a lab. They're looking. You've probably got the best people in the world looking after you. Not to mention, you then spend that 2K on a trip around the world the next
year. Exactly. But then I understand that it is very serious. I've seen videos of people who do have the virus, and I say now I want the money, but then again, if I got the virus to the extreme, I don't know. But at this stage, I'm desperate for cash.
Yeah, you and I think a lot of people could do with it. I think it's a no-brainer. If you are tested on and it becomes the vaccine that works, that ends up not saving many lives for me, that I reckon that's a no-brainer.
Yeah. You'd be down in the history books forever. But also, let's just give a shout-out to the UK at the moment. Let's hope that actually does work.
Oh, fingers crossed. Duck, duck, goose.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
You may see a few news articles floating around at the moment of people that are creating things on maps. Now, this is quite a unique idea of what people are doing. So over in Iceland, they're in the news a fair bit at the moment, the old Iceland. You did a story about them yesterday. Well, they've done it again. There's an aeroplane that was doing a few laps of the sky. And so what they thought they'd do is to honour all our healthcare workers during the pandemic. What they did is they've flown around in a massive love heart shape. So if anyone's tuned onto the flight radar map, you just see this huge love heart across the skies. A brilliant little gesture to honour the those that are doing such an amazing thing for us.
I do love that. I've seen a few of these stories. I actually saw one come out of Boston where they were trying to do the same as this pilot did, and it was a runner, and he attempted to run and spell out Boston Strong, but he spelt it a little bit wrong and said Boston Strog.
Yes, Strog. I was just about to say that exact story. I read that one as well. Boston Strog. There's been a few other ones in March as well. An Austrian pilot, he took to the sky and he actually, this is quite hard to do, he spelt stay home on the flight radar. Great effort.
I mean, you see the picture and you think, I could do that. I just don't know if I could do that because it's a lot of work. A, you've got to work out the streets. And then B, you've got to run them.
Well, that's the thing. So you obviously can't fly a plane, Herbie. So my challenge isn't going to be to get up in the skies and fly a plane for us. But I do want to challenge you to do what the Boston Strong guy did, except I want you to spell this one right. This weekend in Goulburn Valley, you can get involved as well. I use the Nike running app. I don't know what app. You've got an iWatch, don't you, Herbs?
Yeah, I've got an Apple Watch, so I can use that. Or even, I know there's a running app, Strava. A lot of people doing that tracks your
where you go. Now, I want you, Herbs, via the satellite to switch on your iWatch and track yourself. And my challenge for you this weekend when you're out for your daily exercise, Apple iWatch, whatever it's called, is to spell out the words. Oh, I was going to say hit GV. I was going to throw something stupid like fart at you, but why don't you just keep it simple? And why don't you spell it? Try and spell out via the streets of Marutna there where you live. Hit 96.9. See, write that one down.
Hit 96.9. I mean, should I? I mean, that's good. Should we add like a strong?
Yeah, except spell it right. Do hit 96.9 strong, but you have to spell strong correctly.
Okay, so, I'll try and get the N in.
And you know what, guys? Get involved that's as well. I'll set this challenge not just for Herbs. Monday we'll reveal the results of how you went. But if you end up going out this weekend, go spill a word. I don't care what it is. It can be a swear. It can be whatever you want. Don't encourage it, but I do. Send your photos in. Hit GV on Instagram, and Monday on the show we will share them.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Before I get into this story, if you've got a weak stomach, or maybe if you're eating breakfast, maybe turn us down or try and sit through this one.
I was going to suggest switching over to one of the other radio stations, but that'll have the same effect anyway. You'll feel sick.
That is true. So, three college roommates over in the States, so from Sheldon, which is in northwest Iowa. They're at a community college there and they found themselves in a little bit of trouble. So if you watched any American movies, you'd know that when you go off to college, you normally go off and live in a house somewhere. Depends which gang you get into.
I wish we had that in Australia. I know we have small doses of it, but nothing like that. Like UCLA has something like 120,000 kids. Like, that's a city.
We're never going to be anything like America, which I like, can I say. But this aspect of it, it does seem kind of fun, what the movies portray, although this makes it sound not as fun. So three college roommates, they decide to play a prank on one of their other roommates. They're four females, and they've now been charged with assault for what they've done to this female. So what the three girls did is they removed dry skin from one of their feet and put it into the fourth roommate's shredded cheese and watched her consume it without her knowledge.
That is one of the worst things I've ever heard. You know, you know how my visual brain works, Herbs. I picture it happening to me and then I picture myself
nibbling away on some feet.
That is one of the worst things I've ever heard.
It is disgusting, and I'm glad that they have been charged. But I did want to have a little bit of fun with you this morning and chuck a would you rather at you. I mean, never condone what these girls have done, but let's say, hypothetical, would you rather, Josiah, have dry feet that peels and people can see it in public, that your feet are so dry and peeling for the rest of your life, or eat a bit of my dry skin off my feet once a week?
That's a tough one. Now, I can confirm I've already got dry feet. I picked off, like, I reckon last night, I reckon I picked off the biggest piece of dry skin off my heel I've ever seen. And if Morgan, my roommate's up early listening, if she looks under the couch in the lounge room, she'll find it situated there. I was hoping when she got the Dyson out, she'd find it. So you know what, Herbs? Based on that decision alone, I'm picking my dry feet over eating yours any day.
Peely dry feet.
If I had to eat yours, you know what? I'd charge you with the salt as well. Surely you'd pick my dry feet over your own.
Oh, do you know what? I'd probably have a meal.
You would?
I'd probably have a meal.
You know what? Why don't, well, you know, tonight you're coming over to my house for dinner. Why don't we cook up a nice little bolognese and instead of some Parmesan cheese? We'll just grate the back
Josiah's
of my
foot. Feet flakes.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Yesterday, Cara from Shep shared a story with us of when she's been stuck in an item of clothing. And after hearing it, I thought, oh my gosh, I've been there. I've been there recently.
So basically, when you go in the change rooms, you put something on, it's obviously a bit too tight. And as a girl, when you go to get it off, I mean, it could happen to dudes as well. Mm. But I know girls have got bigger areas and different areas of their body.
And
that
more
makes it
clothes,
a bit harder.
They get stuck everywhere compared to just a pant or a top.
Good point. Yeah, you wear dresses.
It gets tight. And so I actually had ordered something online. It was a white off-the-shoulder dress. It did have sleeves, but very white.
Oh.
And was sort of went just below the knees.
Hello,
it was for
honey.
A theme white event.
Right. Herbie and dressing I ordered it. To impress.
And I had a bit of time before my PT session in the afternoon, and I thought, let's just try it on now to see if it fits or if I need to send it back. And so I put it on, and while I managed to squeeze into it, I thought, my golly, this is tight. And I could barely walk in it, and to move, I sort of had to lie on my bed and then jump back up to get a bit of momentum because it was so tight.
That would be the best visual I've ever seen.
And I thought, no, let's get out of it. I probably do need the bigger size. I've got to get to PT. So as I was trying to take the dress off, I realized this isn't moving much. I got it to around my neck area, so it now looks like a turtle poking out of its shell. And I was just stuck in this dress, and I had to call my PT to let her know, hey, I'm not going to make PT anymore, and I actually need your assistance to come to my house to get this dress off. She's like, you're kidding me. I was like, no, I'm really stuck. And I managed to wriggle a little bit, so at this stage I'm now not as much as a turtle poking out. I'm now like a, you know, a white marshmallow that's been melted, like toasted, and you pull the top layer off. I'm looking like that.
Imagine when your PT rocks up and sees you just hair turtle popping.
It wasn't pretty. She rocked up, and now I'm a sweaty mess. I did have some fake tan on already, so now this white dress is just a disaster. There's no chance of me returning it. She had to get the scissors in the end, and I had to be cut out of this white dress.
Well, that was my next question for you. I said if you're going to get rid of it and it's not going to fit, you could have just ripped it to pieces yourself, but you don't really want to go there yet, do you, until it's final straw?
No, it's. I definitely didn't want to go there. But the best thing about this is that I had the dress and cut it up, and now in the whole crisis with toilet paper, I just got to use that.
What?
Get up with Josiah and Herbie
on Hit 96.9.
Hey, how's this, Herbs? Museums around the world, obviously during this lockdown period, they've been battled, they're saying embattled in the world's creepiest exhibit challenge. Can't say that word, it's hard to say. Exhibit challenge. So basically what they're doing is they're going to Twitter, doing the hashtag curator battle. So if you search that right now, what they're doing is trying to find out who is the creepiest museum in the world.
That's a good idea. I love when people think outside the box, especially with everything that's going on in the world. It does remind me, though, I always think of museums when we're not there, of Night of the Museum. Like, yeah. They must get up to stuff.
Everything.
Things
comes
must
alive.
Come alive.
Well, every day they choose a new theme. So if you look at the hashtag curator battle, today's theme is creepiest objects. So all the museums do the hashtag, and people, there's some horrifying things being put out there.
Do you know what I reckon could top the list of that one? If there's a doll in any museum.
Well,
they are creepy.
A lot of dolls do appear in museums, including, and this is why I reckon we should get right behind this. If anyone knows, they know. The old Marupna Museum there, the one that there's the burnt down one at the front, obviously the hospital out the front, but there's the museum out the back. Now, I had to spend a night in that hospital towards the end of last year. And even if you don't have to spend a night in there, which no one does, just visiting that museum in the day, which you can do, you chuck a gold coin. There's actually some amazing history in there about our local area. But some of the things they have inside that museum, Herbs, will take the cake. Like, there's no ifs and buts after spending a night there. The place is completely haunted. And we will win that. They've got headless mannequins just sitting there like bandaged
why?
Up. Why? They've got like mannequins without... That's the good question. I want to know why. Why?
What, is that our history?
No, it's just
part. Have I missed something?
No, that's what I want to know. That's why I was in there. Like, you had the worst vibes. Not to mention, you get all your ghost hunters and stuff go through the place,
yeah.
And it's gone through the roof. Like, people have seen things. What about the old lady every time, well, you're working from home at the moment, when you come back to work, because you do live in Marupna, you drive past the old burnt down hospital, have a look to your left every time just before you get on the causeway there, Herbs. There's the nurse that died over 100 years ago. She's often seen just above the hospital there, sitting above. Imagine if we...
See, I've heard that.
Imagine if you sent the photos of her. There are a couple of photos people have taken. Put that in the hashtag challenge. Oh, my goodness.
I reckon we should win this. I reckon, because obviously I'm new to town, I don't have a lot of photos yet of what I've seen, but I reckon there'd be people here in the GB who have seen a lot of creepy stuff that's going on. We should get those photos, send them in, and let's win this challenge.
Hit GV on Instagram, send your photos in. If you've got something creepy, we can submit for the hashtag curator battle. One of them, either if it's not a headless mannequin, Herbs, I reckon we go for the old baby bones they have assembled there in the museum as well from a poor infant that died over 100 years ago.
I'm just more baffled that I haven't heard about any of this. I'm not going to sleep tonight. I live really close to there.
I can't wait to lock you in that museum, Herbs.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie
on Hit 96.9.
Herbs, they do say a fact a day keeps the doctor away, allegedly. And so we thought we'd throw a few facts at you today so you can be nice and healthy into your weekend.
And I think more so going into your weekend that you can actually take a fact to maybe you're having a dinner party with your spouse.
Yeah.
And you can go, hey guys, I've got a fact. Listen up, y'all.
Or an ISO beverage with your roommate or your family, whatever it is. Take these to the dinner table if you run out of things to talk about, because I reckon people are starting to struggle by now after a few weeks in ISO.
Very much so. ISO facts, let's call them. I'll give you the first one. People are more likely to agree with a statement written in Baskerville than any other font.
Interesting. So next time we need to ask for a pay rise from our boss,
yep.
Alan, here at work, we put it in that font.
Baskerville it up and you should get a lot of money.
Alan, expect a few emails later today. Here's a fun one. Bees, as in zzz, like a buzzing bee, or a bumblebee you might call it, can detect explosives. So they've actually been trained. I don't know how you train a bee, but they have been trained to go and detect explosives during wars and places like
mean?
That. I don't know. I'm just
surely if you're a bee and you get close to it and you're inspecting it, it could go off.
Well, I'd say that's why they send them.
I mean, they're quite
light. It's probably why they send them in rather than a dog.
Maybe that's how they've been testing them. If they go, well, thank you very much.
Bomb goes off, but we all get honey. Win-win.
This one is interesting because a lot of us would have found ourselves in this situation over our lifetime. The average person will spend a total of 3,680 hours or 153 days searching for misplaced items like keys, phones, sunglasses and paperwork.
I've heard this one before and it freaks me out. Every time I lose like my keys or my phone or something, I always think of this fact going, oh,
it's
man.
It's half a year.
Yeah, I'm adding to that. Oh, man, it's getting longer than 6 months now. I spent too much of my life doing this.
I spent 3 years looking for stuff.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
You might be looking for something to do over your weekend, which is why I'm here to try and help. I have a Herbie's hobby activity for you guys to try and complete in your spare time, and I'd recommend doing this one either today or over the weekend because it has a little bit of a theme to it. Anzac Day is the theme. I am making Anzac biscuits.
Yeah, I almost forgot with everything that's happening in the world at the moment. Not about Anzac Day. That's we've been speaking about that a lot on the show, and we are going to be speaking about that later on. But about Anzac cookies, I forget. This time every year, they're everywhere, and they are so good.
Now, they're delicious.
Have you made them, or are you going to be making them today? Because I'm a hungry boy right now.
So I have. Last night I made them because I wanted to test out the recipe. I've never made them before in my life, so I thought, let's try and have a crack at them. So if you do go to our socials, you can see my cookies up there, my Anzac biscuits, and I've put the recipe I used and the method of how to do it. Now, the recipe I did use is the first ever known printed recipe going back to 1920, because a lot of people have their own variations on the Anzac biscuit and how they like to make it. So mine is very simple. The first one ever, all you need is golden syrup, baking soda, oats, flour, sugar, and butter.
It's so basic, isn't it?
And they're delicious. I tell you, some people add coconut, and I mean, each to their own.
Oh, yum.
But the ones I made last night, I don't want to say they're near perfect, but they are.
Is it like an insult to change it up and add an extra flavour? I know you've gone with the original 1920 recipe or whatever the year was, but could you add a bit of Herbie in there? Like, is there a secret ingredient you could have added, like a bit of chocolate or something, or you know what
one
I mean?
One of the secret herbs and spices.
Imagine. Sprinkle a bit of KFC salt in there.
A little bit of probably my saliva's in there because I was eating the batter so much.
Oh, yum. That was my issue as a kid as well. Whenever we made like Anzac biscuits or chocolate chip cookies, Mum used to tell me off because I'd eat it all.
It's the best part of baking, I reckon. If people don't know the backstory of Anzac biscuits, what we've been told is that over in World War One, that the wives and the girlfriends, they sent over the Anzac biscuits because they could last the travel to, and then the troops got to enjoy something a little bit sweeter.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Delicious. I mean, we've got them for years now.
What a brilliant idea. Well, Herbs, you're in at home at the moment doing the show from there. So after 9 o'clock, if you don't mind, can you swing by the studio and just leave them at the doorstep here? Because I haven't got breakfast this morning. So
I'd love to, except they're nearly all gone.
Keep them away from your roommates. Hey, here at Hit 96.9, we are getting behind the driveways at dawn. If you want all the details, it's happening tomorrow morning. Anzac Day is tomorrow. It's such an important thing. Hit GV on Instagram is the place to go, or Hit Goulburn Valley on Facebook if you want all the details.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie
on Hit 96.9.
We love this lady, Steph Ryan. She is the MP for Euroa, the deputy leader of the Nationals Party, and we thought we'd get her on this morning to have a chat about all things during this crazy coronavirus pandemic. Steph Ryan, thank you so much for your time.
How are you?
We're good. I mean, it's still a crazy world.
Looking forward to the change Saturday will bring to your life.
I'm hoping so.
So dramatically different, isn't it, a Saturday to a Friday?
Oh, so much so. We're going to be doing nothing tomorrow, just like we're doing nothing today. So, hey, Steph, we did want to clear a couple of things up with you as well, because you seem like a voice of reason for those in the Goulburn Valley that are a little confused during this crazy pandemic.
Who isn't confused?
But there's a lot of retailers have been asked by Scott Morrison and the government to stay open during this thing. However, a lot of people aren't going to these stores because they're scared they're going to get done because it's seen as non-essential travel. However, the stores themselves have been told to keep open and people aren't coming in. So they're starting to go under because of the confusion here. Do you have an answer? Should these stores be staying open, and can we go buy, you know, a skirt or, you know, a jumper or whatever we need?
Place it.
Yeah. The answer is you actually can. So this is one of the areas where I think there is great confusion. So the states all write their own directions for what should stay open and what shouldn't. And so the Victorian government has put in place legal directions, which and their message to everyone has been, you must stay at home unless it's for getting necessary goods or services, care or compassionate reasons, work or education or exercise. But underneath that, there's basically a whole range of criteria. So when you actually look at the definition of necessary goods or services, it says that you can leave your premises to obtain food or drink, goods and services for health or medical purposes, or other necessary goods or services, including but not limited to goods or services provided by a financial institution, a government body or government agency, a post office, a pharmacy, a hardware store, a petrol store, a pet store or a veterinary clinic. But this is the one that I think has everyone confused. A retail facility that is not prohibited from operating in another set of directions.
Right.
So,
what does that mean?
Well, the vast majority of retailers have not been closed out. They have to comply with some social distancing requirements and cleaning requirements and that kind of thing. But, yeah, the local clothes store can still remain open, which means people are still legally able to go. And this is where I think there's been huge confusion created by what the government's been telling people. They obviously want people to stay at home as a default, but the reality is you are still legally able to go and, buy a jumper or do those kinds of things. Now, obviously, they're saying to people, stay home because we're trying to limit the spread of it. But when you look at those legal directions, yes, you are. If a retailer is open, then you are, and they're legally open. And there aren't many retail facilities that have been asked to close. So, for example, it's mainly close contact, like nail salons have been told they have to close, waxing and beauty, that kind of thing. But your average retailer is able to stay open. But yeah, wow. they're now facing this huge problem where no one's coming in because in many respects, lots of people don't know they're allowed to go in.
Steph Ryan, it's a funny thing as well because we obviously want our local retailers across the Golden Valley to survive, and at the same time we're asking for people to be essential. So if I got pulled over by the police today and they said, where you're off to, and I said I'm just going to buy a t-shirt in town, they can't actually find me, which seems crazy to say.
Yeah, but this is also the problem. I think there's been some broad discretion. I think different police have sometimes interpreted some of those rules differently. So there's a lot of confusion around it. I think, some of the fines have been a very broad interpretation of the rules, but that's what the legal directions actually state. And
gotcha.
The police are trying to do their best. It's pretty hard to make a set of directions that covers all human behaviour, I suppose, and everyone understands that the government's facing a really challenging situation with this. But at the same time, this is why I think we need some greater scrutiny over government decision making at this time as well, because this is just really unprecedented in terms of restricting people's activity. We've never seen anything like this before, and the state has huge powers that it's wielding at the moment, so we really need some more oversight of that to help resolve some of these situations.
So, Steph, just to clarify, because I'm at home and I'm seeing the ads on TV every hour that are saying you can only leave your house for 4 essential items or essential services, and we're hearing it on radio, there actually is more than those 4.
Well, one of those 4 is considered necessary goods or services. And when you read the definition of necessary goods or services, it permits retailers who have not been closed down under another set of directions, which is the vast majority of people, to stay open. So legally, yes, you are allowed to go and visit those retailers, but that's not the impression the government's left.
Gotcha. Well, Steph Ryan, as always, you've done a great job at clearing up the confusion. We appreciate what you do for us here in the Goulburn Valley. And again, best of luck over the next week or two, and we'll be checking with you very soon, no doubt.
No worries, guys. Stay safe.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie
on Hit 96.9.